Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and 3 days later rise again. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There are literally thousands of different Christian traditions and denominations found throughout the world, and we all disagree on various things, such as theology and doctrine. The way that we worship is often different from one another. The spaces in which we worship are often different from one another. Some churches and sanctuaries or spaces of worship are very ornate, with statues and symbols and carvings and famous artworks and candles and various other fixtures. Other Christian traditions have very plain spaces of worship with very little, if anything, on the walls. Although Christian worship spaces are very different across the world and Christian traditions, one symbol can often be found in all Christian worship spaces, and that is some form of the cross. If you go to a Roman Catholic church, you will often see a crucifix, a cross with the body of Jesus hanging on it. At some churches, you will see what is called a Christus Rex, like we have here at the back of the church. Jesus is still on the cross, but the cross is more of a throne, a place where Jesus is king and priest and reigns from, rather than an instrument of torture. If you go to a Baptist church or another Protestant church, you will often find very plain crosses with nothing on it at all. Jesus is gone from the cross. He has been raised from the dead. We here at the Church of the Ascension are typical Anglicans. We have crucifixes, plain crosses, and a Christus Rex because we can't quite decide where we fit on the theological spectrum and what we would like to teach with our symbols. The Anglican church that I grew up in London, Ontario, was and is a very traditional church, and every single cross in that place that hung on the wall was a crucifix, a cross depicting the crucifixion of Jesus, with the body of Jesus hanging on it. Just as an empty or plain cross is a symbol to teach us something, that the resurrection of Jesus is important, so is the symbol of the crucifix trying to teach us something, namely that Jesus died for our sins and that his death is important to the Christian faith. So the church I grew up in had all these crucifixes everywhere, all around the church, all over the walls, in every single room. I never really thought anything of it, but as time went on, a new priest came to the church, and he would mention from time to time in his sermons and Bible studies and other things like that, that he did not like that we had all of these crucifixes everywhere because of what it was teaching us, namely that the death of Jesus on the cross was the most important thing. One Sunday, I came to church, and something was different, and I could not quite put my finger on it. As I sat in the pew looking around before the service began, I finally realized what was different. Someone had gone around to all the crucifixes, and where they could, they had literally removed the body of Jesus off the cross, and so now there were just plain crosses hanging on the wall. And a few weeks later, I was in the vestry, and I found a box full of Jesuses that were once hanging on the wall. Now, why would someone go around and do this? I mean, why would, like, some of these were in very inaccessible places, but nonetheless, they were taken down. But perhaps they wanted to stress that the resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing. Perhaps they had some personal historical baggage with the symbol of the crucifix, as many people do. Or perhaps they struggled with something that many in the church have struggled with since the very beginning of Christianity, even before the death of Jesus, and that is this, that we worship a God who suffers, who goes through pain, who is beaten, who is mocked, who is spat upon, who is ultimately nailed to a piece of wood and left to die, and a God who calls us to that very same fate, rather than a God of glory. Many Christian thinkers have struggled with this for 2,000 years, that Jesus is our God, but he seems to be defeated in some way, perhaps even weak, rather than a God who is always reigning in glory. In our gospel reading for today, we see that Saint Peter himself has this very same struggle. Jesus has a teaching for the disciples. He says to them that the Son of Man must undergo suffering and rejection and be killed. After Jesus says these things to the disciples, Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke Jesus. But then Jesus rebukes Peter. Peter cannot fathom in his mind that Jesus, his Messiah, his God, will be treated in this way. Peter and us as human beings deep down inside want a God who reigns in glory and is in control of all things at all times. We struggle with this idea that we have a God who meets us at our basic human level. As we continue on in our gospel reading, Jesus calls the crowd together, and he says that famous line to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it." Jesus tells us that if we truly want to be his followers, we could very well have the same fate as him, the cross, and that it will be a hard road that will involve pain and suffering. And unfortunately, for many Christians throughout the world, this is the reality which they live each and every single day. This is a hard message that we hear from Jesus today, because we as a culture in the Western world have a very hard time with suffering and death. We sanitize it, and we like to pretend that it doesn't really happen, and the prevailing wisdom is it certainly should not happen to our God. Peter wanted a Messiah who is going to be a victorious king, but what he got is a Messiah whose throne was a cross and whose crown would be made of thorns. In North America, we value power, wealth, success, happiness, and Jesus promises us none of these things. Rather, we are told if we are his followers, we will receive the opposite. Although our present culture may not value the things that Jesus values, may not value the cross, we as the church have something very important and vital to offer to this world, because we know that although our culture may value power, wealth, success, and happiness, we know that the reality for many, many people in this world is quite the opposite. The reality is many people in our society live with poverty, pain, fear, sadness, and suffering. And we, as the church, have a God who meets us in these places because he lived that in his death on the cross. This past week, our ministerial group, the group of churches around here, met up the street at St. Stephen's United Church, and we had an ecumenical healing service. At one point in the service, all the priests and ministers lined up across the front of the church, and people were invited to come forward and to receive prayers for healing. Countless people came forward and shared their pain and anguish, everyday people who from the outside look completely normal to you and me. And we, as the church, did not tell these people that our mighty God Jesus is going to solve all their problems in the snap of a finger. No, rather, we were able to tell these people that Jesus knows their pain, because in his humanity, he meets us in our human pain, because he lived it himself by his last week leading to the cross. And not only does Jesus meet us in our humanness, he took all our pain and brokenness and brought it to the cross with him. And as the church, we know that the cross is not the end. There is life and hope beyond the cross, and Jesus takes us there as well. That is a powerful message that as the church we have to offer to people. Think of those families in Florida right now whose children were killed in the school shooting. They don't need a God who promises wealth, health, and power. They need a God who meets them in the pain. They need a God who understands their helplessness and the way that they are feeling right now. They need our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. So my brothers and sisters, as you continue on in your Lenten journeys, do not forget where all this is headed. It is headed toward the cross, where we can leave all our pains and sorrows at the feet of Jesus, who hung there to die for us. I end today with the words of that famous hymn, "There is a green hill far away, outside a city wall, where our dear Lord Jesus was crucified, who died to save us all." Amen.